Alexander Hamilton should have been born in his grandfather's fog-bound castle on the west coast of Scotland, the same castle where his father, James, had been born, along with James's three older brothers. But as the fourth son, James would not stand a chance of inheriting even a share of the castle. That's the way it worked in Scotland. Even so, young James was expected to help his brothers do the chores around the castle, exercise the horses, feed the dogs, and look for lost sheep. Yet when his brothers called for James to help them, where was he? Off. Away. Not around. He was playing, out of sight and out of hearing. When James was 19, his brother John took him to Glasgow to become an apprentice in the linen industry. He had to agree to work there for 4 years. But the work didn't suit him, and when the time was up, he was ready to get as far away from Scotland as he could. Off James went to St. Kitts in the West Indies, where there were supposed to be plenty of jobs on sugar plantations. James tried trading sugar, but he wasn't very good at it. Instead of making money, he ended up owing money. Then James met a local girl named Rachel. She had been married and divorced, and the terms of her divorce prevented her from ever marrying again. So Rachel and James lived together, calling themselves James and Rachel Hamilton. Eventually, they had a son called James, after his father. They were living on Nevis by the time another son was born on January 11th, 1755, or 1757. They named him Alexander after his grandfather, and because it was a good Scottish name and sounded prosperous. Alexander was a bright, curious, ambitious boy. He probably inherited his brains from Rachel, who was said to have been smart and clever. Not until he was older would Alexander find that his brains and his ambition would shape his life. At the moment, Alexander and his brother James were being tutored, not on a regular basis, but often enough so Alexander learned to read better than other boys his age. He didn't pronounce one letter at a time, as children were taught in school. He said the whole word at once. He especially liked doing sums. He loved the exactness and orderliness of numbers, marching them up and down in columns and watching them change in value as he added and subtracted. He learned other things, too. He may have been a superior student, but the community looked down on him and his family. Women who passed him and his brother on the street would whisper, "Obscene children." He knew this was because his father and mother were not married. For the same reason, boys would sometimes rub the forefinger of one hand against the forefinger of the other hand, a gesture that meant shame. Alexander read as many books as he could, about kings, queens, war, and how people might learn to live together. Later in life, when he became prominent in politics, Alexander Hamilton was often described as an outsider because of his West Indian background. Perhaps, in one way or another, he had been one since he was a boy. Not only because he didn't have a proper family, but also because he never felt as if he belonged in the West Indies. Life was difficult, largely because there was little money. So when James Hamilton was offered a job on St. Croix, collecting money from a man in debt, the family went to St. Croix. Rachel's older sister, Anne Lytton, lived on the island with her husband, James. The Lyttons owned a grand house called The Grange, but they had money problems, too. Not long after the Hamiltons arrived, they had to sell The Grange and move to Nevis. A year later, when James Hamilton had collected the debt after a lawsuit, he left St. Croix alone, deserting his family forever. Sometimes Alexander and his father wrote to each other, but he never saw his father again. But Rachel was resourceful. She and the boys moved to a building where Rachel opened a shop. Alexander, 11 years old and always good with numbers, began to keep her ledgers, order her goods, and wait on her customers.